It has been 2 weekends that I was absent from Manila, but I believe that it was better than with my presence, because you have the presence of the Lord, and His presence is powerful and brought healing and deliverance to all of us. So I thank God for this, and thank God for Susanto's testimony. It was powerful. And I praise the Lord for everything He has done and He will be doing among us. And so this weekend, they asked me to preach in the main hall. And I said, no, I need to come to Anil, because I said it's been 2 weeks and it's too long. So the good news, the 2 weekends I was away, the first weekend I was in Jerusalem to attend the elders meeting on behalf of Hong Kong, China, and Philippines. And I actually met a Filipino pastor, first time in the elders council. The elders council, the first time I saw this Filipino brother came from Philippines and attend the council's the elders council. It was great to hear the report from the Philippines, and we also had a conversation, which is I think will be I sense that is different now, even in the Philippines. I sense that things are changing and it's getting better. So I pray that, yes, Philippines is for Christ. Amen. The week before, I was holding the Filipino flag, right, the national flag, and attend the 67th anniversary of our mother church in Taipei. And I was representing the Philippines and holding your country flag and to celebrate this Bread of Life churches in around the world, 450 Bread of Life church under our mother church. And 611 has 111, 611. So praise God for that. Then after Jerusalem, then I flew to Japan and visited HESED 611. HESED means kindness. Kindness 611 in Sapporo, in Hokkaido. And we have a Japanese pastors network meeting there. And it was a great transformation. Number one, we talked to them about confession and repentance. To Japanese, this is too difficult to tell them you need to repent. Unless the Holy Spirit works in them, they will not. Agree, Mimi? No matter how wrong they have done, especially in Asia, to Philippines, right? Japan has done a lot of things in Philippines, in China. But they will never say they were wrong. They never apologize and repent for what they have done. And they would twist the fact and say something else. But this time in the Sunday service, we preach repentance. And they did. From the pastor and pastor's wife to their disciple. The disciple was a doctor, a medical doctor, that just came to Christ not long ago. Within this year, he was baptized in HESED 611. He picked up the mic and confessed his sins. And it was amazing. And so the spirit of repentance entered and started working in them. And they started to repent. And this is amazing. This is a breakthrough. And then later on, we told them, hey, Your worship should be authentic, should be raw, R-A-W. Every time, if I've been to Japanese church many times, at least once a year or twice a year. But every time I was singing the same songs. Same songs. So even I don't know Japanese, I can remember the songs I sang, because it will be the same songs in every worship service. And not much change. So we said, well, you need to sing new songs. God is for real. Let's be real. Don't just sing the same songs. You make the songs for God. You sing to the Lord a new song. So together we pray in the Spirit. We lay hands on them and everyone start to sing new songs. And praise God for this. And we sense that the Truth of Life DNA has been implanted in this pastor's life, in the pastor's couple's life. And this DNA of Truth of Life will sprout up. And I prophesied over all the Japanese pastors, sprout up the DNA of the Truth of Life. That's in Isaiah 61:11. What it is? What is it? Yes. Let the praise and righteousness sprout up before all nations. And that's about the Truth of Life. Because it's the Truth of Life, you describe a tree, a sprout, sprout up. And that's the word to describe the Truth of Life, be planted and start to come out. And come out from the ground, from the soil. And the Spirit of God will make it come out. And I prophesy over them, the Spirit will make the Truth of Life. The Truth of Life in every Japanese 611 church will sprout up and become a healthy Truth of Life. And that's where it's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. We talk about Truth of Life, but you know the Japanese are very proud of their culture. Even Hong Kong people, they have this Japanese thing, thinking it's more superior, better or something. But actually, we are preaching the Truth of Life culture. Truth of Life culture. Truth of Life is Jesus. Jesus Christ. The culture of Jesus Christ. The Truth of Life culture will set them free from the cultural bondage. We are preaching the Truth of Life culture, which is very different from the Japanese culture. We actually boldly confront them. How many of you suppress yourself? When you go at work, you suppress. You work, you submit, submit, work. Work overtime. Work day and night. When you get home or you go to the what's that, the bar, you start to drink. Actually, I discover the beer or the whiskey that you can buy in the supermarket, the whiskey is bigger than the water bottle. The whiskey bottle is like 4 liters big, 3 liters whiskey. I said, wow, that's whiskey. It says it's whiskey, but it's in a big bottle, bigger than you buy a bottle of mineral water. That's whiskey. And they sold in the supermarket. Agree? Taka. This is how, why so many people, because they suppress or just get drunk. And we taught them the Truth of Life culture. Be yourself. Be the true son and daughter of God. Just like what you experienced in the healing camp. And we say, you need healed. You need to be healed. Come out from the cultural bondage. Come out from all the suppression. come out from all this like twisted disguise and be a tree of life. So that was what we had done last week in Japan. And we also have all the leaders, 15 leaders from Hong Kong. We were there and we have our own retreat and making a few new important decisions for 611, for the coming year of 611. We really want to plant the truth of life everywhere. And number one, our media needs to build up. The whole infrastructure of media, including a production team with young people. We're going to get all the young people, below 40, 40 and below. Not me. I'm considered old. And I already passed my jubilee. So I'm happily announced that it's not me. There will be a group of young people. They will form a production team and produce a lot of things that God has given to 611, which is precious, which is powerful and explosive. We're going to channel it out and through the media and then goes to the world. So coming back here, I was exciting and to look forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know when will be the Feast of Tabernacles start? Well, it started tonight. It's going to start at sunset tonight. Because in the biblical calendar, there's evening, there's morning, that's a day. It's from evening to morning that consider a day. So it started on the 14th of this year, October. October 14th is tomorrow. And tomorrow started tonight. Tonight is the beginning of this year's Sukkot. It's called Sukkot, or it's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's called the Feast of Booths, Tents, B-O-O-T-H, Booths, or Tents, or Tabernacles. It's the Hebrew word is Sukkot. So it started tonight and ended at sunset on the 20th. On the 20th sunset. And so this is the 7 days feast. And what the topic today is, God's desire to live with man, to live with us. God's desire to live with us. Do you know that's God's desire? God is for real. Our God, the God we worship, is a living God. A living God. He wants to live with us. He doesn't want to live alone. Right in the Genesis, he created man. He created the Garden of Eden. And man were put into the garden. He himself walked in the garden. He walked with man. He dwelt with man. And then in the future, when new heaven and new earth comes down, his tabernacle will be with man. So from beginning to eternity, God's desire is to live with man. I hope you understand that's God's desire, is to live with you or to live with us. And that's why we celebrate this feast of the Lord. It's not a Jewish feast. Let's put it, this is the feast of the Lord. And it's biblical. It's biblical, it's the command of the Lord to celebrate this. And that's understand God's heart. His heart's desire is to live with us. That's something I want you to remember. God is always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he's faithful to his word. So his desire is to live with man. Since the beginning, when he created man, he already dwelt with man. It's man that rebelled against God and reject his tabernacle, defile his dwelling place, and push him out. But now we want to welcome him back to our lives, our daily life. And you can have an intimate relationship with him in his tabernacle. And this hall's name is, how many people remember this hall's name? God's tabernacle. This hall, our meeting hall, was it torn down or something? It was on the door, God's tabernacle. It was on the door of that door, God's tabernacle. Yeah, in front of it. Ah, you all missed. You are in God's tabernacle. You are in God's tent. This is God's tabernacle. We name this room God's tabernacle. So today I am here to deliver this message, and it's important to prepare you for the coming feast. It started tonight, but next weekend we're going to celebrate together as a whole family, a big household of different language. Even though you're not related directly to the newlyweds, but we're going to attend their wedding, because this is the wedding of the Lamb. And that's why today I want to prepare you. So let's be all ready. Ready for the feast. Ready for the marriage of the Lamb. This year is more than a feast. This year's celebration is more than just a musical celebrating the birth of Jesus. This year is celebrating an eternal marriage, which is related to all of us, the marriage of the Lamb. You never heard of it. I never heard of it. It's first time for me, and I have to be prepared. I want to be ready in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul, in my body. I want to be all ready for the marriage of the Lamb. And that signifies when Jesus comes back, we are all ready as the bride. We are the church. We are the bride. Amen? Okay, let's get ready. Number one, God's desire to live with man in the tent. Number one, in the tent. I skipped Genesis already, because in the garden. That's the original. In the garden. He wants us to expand that garden to have dominion all over the world, right? Remember, be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. That was the time God was with man. God was with man in the garden. So I skip that, okay? Let's come to the Old Testament in Exodus 23. Exodus 23. This is the first mention of the feast. Exodus 23, verse 14. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me, okay? Number one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was the Passover. And then the Feast of the Harvest. That's what we talk about, the Feast of Harvest. And it says, verse 16, celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruit of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year. when you gather in your crops from the field. Three times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Do not come empty-handed. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. God basically says to you, I am your provider. All you have, all the harvest, all you gather into the storehouse, it's for me. Remember, he's the provider. No one appear before him empty-handed. That means you will not lack. You shall not lack. You will have the fruit. You will have the harvest. So you come before God. No one says, I'm too poor. I have nothing. No, God says you will come with the first fruit. You will come with the harvest. That means he will provide for you. He's the provider. That's why we celebrate the feast. And by faith, we come. We bring the gifts next week. And knowing he's the provider, he's the supplier. He will supply the seeds for you to sow, and you will reap the harvest, and you will not come empty-handed. Then come Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month of the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins. And when it comes to this new calendar, it's tonight. It started tonight. This is the 7th month. Normally it's September, October. Normally it's October. This is the 7th month in the biblical calendar. Now, I'm not talking about Jewish calendar. It's the biblical calendar. This is the 7th month, and tomorrow is the 15th day, and so start tonight. The Feast of Tabernacle begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a secret assembly. Wonderful, we're doing it. Do no regular work, so nobody work after the service, okay? Do no regular work. Don't go for a part-time job after the service, okay? For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire. And on the 8th day, hold a secret assembly. That's 20th. On the 20th, we have a great celebration. That's next Sunday. Isn't it just wonderful? What a divine appointment we have. Every word is true. Every word in this book is true. And it so happens we are right on the calendar this week. We have a meeting today, and we have a great celebration on the biggest day, next Sunday. And order a new sisters can sing and dance in the mercy seat. Just think about that. Amen. And is the closing assembly. Do no regular work. Okay? Then verse 7, 37. These are the Lord's appointed feasts. He appointed. Not man appointed. God, the Lord. The Lord appointed these days. Holy. Are these days. It is the Lord's appointed feast, which you are to proclaim as secret assemblies for bringing offerings made to the Lord by fire, the burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifice and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Shabbaths, and in addition to your gifts, whatever you have vowed and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. We are not bringing any animals, okay, next week. And I don't want you to bring, like, a handful of flowers or anything, okay? So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day to rest, and the eighth day also a day to rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruits from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance. It's God's command. It is God's command to celebrate this feast of the Lord. Is the Lord's appointed feast. It's for generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths. So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So it's God's command. Why? Remember when God brought Israelites out of Egypt, they passed through the wilderness. They don't live in houses. They live in the tent. And where is the Ark of the Covenant? Also live in the tent. In the tabernacle, in the tent. In the morning, there's the pillar of light. In the evening was pillar of fire. All above the tent of God's dwelling place. Remember, God's desire is to live with men. He guide their path all for the 40 years in the wilderness. God lived literally in the wilderness with his people. He make his tent. He make his dwelling in the wilderness with his people. Remember God's guidance. And he provide manna. He provide the quails, the meat, for 40 years. He provide the clothes, their shoes. This is our God. Literally, your shoes did not worn out, did not wear out. Your clothes is not wear out. That means he provides everything you need. He says, I need a 20 pairs of shoes. Right? Ladies, how many shoes you have? You don't need it. God will provide. God will provide for your shoes. Your clothes. That's why it's so important. All these feasts is to proclaim our God is the provider. Our God guides and provides and protects in the wilderness. The fire, the pillar of fire is for protection. And that's why it says you need to celebrate this, to remember, be grateful, be thankful, and remember what God has done in your life and how he provided for you and protected you and kept you. He's your keeper. He's your helper. He's your provider. That's why we need to come and celebrate at the appointed time. Not to celebrate at the time of what you want, when you want. It's celebrate at the appointed time, the divine appointment that God wants to come. And all the Jews will tell you, now is the time that God is very close. But I'm telling you, now is the time God is with us. He's desire is to live with men. That's his desire. From beginning to the end. From beginning to eternity. That's God's desire. I hope you understand this and welcome his presence. Welcome his indwelling. Welcome his prayer. His, like every tangible presence every day is with us. And when you believe, you actually receive it. Now, then comes to Numbers 29. The Numbers 29 lists out how they make the offering on this feast, because it's the most important feast of the year. Numbers 29 lists out, and I'm not going to do the calculation for you. I knew I used to make a calculation for you, and every day, it's like on the 15th day of the 7th month, was 12 in Numbers 29, then you offer this number of oxens, rams, bulls, male lambs, grain offerings, all this. You can count the numbers. This is makes the biggest offering the Israelites make in each year. You go back and do the calculation. You go back and add the numbers together. Every day. Every day. In addition to the regular burnt offering. It's in addition. In addition. Not the normal offering. Because the Israelite knows. Blessings. Everything is a blessing from the Lord. It's not because you work with your hands. It's not how you, how hard you work and how much you get. That's most of the Asian thinking is you work hard, you get more. No. Our mindset needs to change. Blessings. All the Israelites, all the Jews will tell you blessings. Blessings comes from the Lord. Doesn't equal to how hard you work. If you do it with your own hands, it's not a blessing. It's your paycheck. It's what you deserve. But we talk about grace and blessing. It's not what you deserve. It's totally given by the Lord. Once you believe that, your life will be changed. Then you will come and depend on God, not to depend on yourself. God's children learn to depend on God, not to be depend on yourself. Yes, we have men's responsibility. Like Caleb says, be punctual. This is responsibility. It's a responsible person. But blessing. Blessing comes. Caleb didn't even show up on time, but still he had all this blessing from the teachers. That means it's a grace. It's a blessing. If depend on how hard he works, all his marks will be distract. No marks for Caleb. Then he will be expelled from the Bible school. No, instead, he received healing. He received deliverance. Blessing. Once you know, that's a blessing. But still, you have your responsibility. Okay, everyone? Responsibility. We need to be held accountable to God and man. However, God's blessing are for those that believe him, depend on him, truly trust him. Amen. So let's come, continue on. This is in the Old Testament. God's desire to live with men in the tent, in the tabernacle. That's why it's called the Feast of Tabernacles. Then it comes to New Testament in John chapter 1. You know, in the history of Jews, they rejected God, so they were dispersed. They were in exile. Then 70 years, God brought them back to the land. They were under the Roman Empire later. And then in the New Testament, after 400 years, God was silent. And now God spoke. God spoke. In the Gospel of John, verse 14 of chapter 1, the word, notice, is a capital W. The word became flesh and make his dwelling among us. That make his dwelling, so it's a verb. V-E-R-B is an action verb. That word is tabernacle. He set up a tent. The word became flesh. That's Jesus, the Son of living God. He became flesh. Took the form of man. And dwelt on tabernacled. And tabernacled among us. He lived with men in the human form. He took up the form of man and literally lived with man. He eats and drinks and dwells with man because it's his desire. So the second point is God's desire to live with man. Jesus came and tabernacled with us. Jesus came and tabernacled with us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. John testified this. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in the wilderness, he lived in the tabernacle, he lived in the tent. Right above the mercy seat, the glory of God is right in the Holy of Holies and on the mercy seat. Then in the New Testament, he came and tabernacled with man. His glory can be seen. The Son of the living God, his glory can be seen by men with physical eyes. They saw how he did miracles. They witnessed all his miracles and his teachings, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this is the John the Baptist. Yes, and then he says, verse 17. Verse 17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. He make himself known. He make himself live with man. This is in the New Testament. Then the Son of God was rejected by man, crucified on the cross, buried in the tomb, and ascended 3 days. On the third day, he resurrected. Then 40 days, he showed himself to his disciples. Then he, on the Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, now this is all the appointed time, he ascended to the Father, and the Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost. the Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost. So did you see that on this Feast of Tabernacle, Jesus was born? Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacle. And the Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost. They lived another feast, the Feast of Passover. Then that was when Jesus died on the cross, became the Passover lamb. Did you see the three biblical feasts, the feasts of the Lord? In the first month of the spring festival was the Passover. Jesus died as the lamb, as the Passover lamb. Then on the feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, changed the world upside down. Because of the Holy Spirit, we receive the gospel. We receive the gospel. The gospel started to preach to the world through Spirit-filled disciples. Through the Spirit-filled disciples. And then in the autumn time is this Feast of Tabernacles. It was the birth of our Lord Jesus. Now mix this feast is what we should celebrate. Doing the right thing on the right time. We are to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus now, in this week. In this week. Not on December the 25th. Not on December the 25th. This week. This week. Because that's the time he was born. And it really makes sense, because if it's December the 25th, there's on all the ship will be kept inside. Will not be in the field. You know, all the ship is so cold. Even now, this time of the year, it's cold already in the evening. You know, I have to put thick jacket in Hokkaido. It's 9 degrees. The ship will be shivering. No, they would not be kept outside overnight. They have to come inside. So when the shepherds in the field, it has to be this time in Israel. This time, not December. Not December, this time, the autumn time. If you want the shepherds to go out with the sheep in the evening, now, not in December. They will be frozen. It's called frozen sheep. Yeah, it will be frozen lamb shack. It will be ready to eat. It has to be this time. And the Bible says all the places are full, because this is the feast. Everybody went up to Jerusalem for the feast. Everybody bringing offerings. They get the cattle, they get the bulls, they get all these things. Everybody goes up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And that's why when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph couldn't find a place. Because it's packed. The whole Jerusalem was packed with people coming to make the offering, coming to celebrate the feast. There's no room. We have experienced that. Few years, I mean, all over these years, we went to Jerusalem for this big feast. It's so hard to find just a hotel room for our group. A decent, nice hotel room. Because it's packed with people going up for the feast. And that's why in Jesus' time, there's no room. No room. This is the week we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So when you want to sing that Christmas song, it's this week. Not in December 25th, 24th. Silent Night is this week. So if you still cannot believe what I'm saying, just Google. Just Google the origin of Christmas, December 25th. You will know that's the birthday of the sun god, S-U-N. The sun god. Because when the whole, when the emperor wants to become a Christian, he says, I want to celebrate the Christmas, and he put the day, sun god. It's a pagan festival. The birth, the rebirth of the sun god, S-U-N. They worship the sun. Just like the people, some people worship the moon, right? They worship the sun. And some people worship the moon. In the past, not now. You've been healed. And so, you know, 25th is not the birthday of Jesus. The Feast of Tabernacle is the birthday of Jesus. And you can go onto the website. If you go onto the our 611 website, we do have a message about the birth of Jesus during the Feast of Tabernacle. And that's why make this feast is so important, so meaningful. The last point I want to share with you, God dwells with us in eternity. So in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, now in eternity, God's desire is to live with man. Revelation 21, again, he tabernacled with us. Revelation 21, Apostle John saw this vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Another translation. You look at your translation. What's the translation need? The dwelling place. The other translation, God's tabernacle. You look up your translation. God's tabernacle. Now the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will live with them. Now you believe he will live with us in eternity. No time limit, no deadline, not just for a period of time. Forever and ever, his tabernacle is with us. And that's why we celebrate this, is to foretaste how we will become when his tabernacle is with men. He will live it with us in the new heaven and the new earth. How we taste. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Everything becomes new. He says, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is God's desire to live with us. Now it's the Holy Spirit is living in us, with us. But in the new heaven and new earth, God himself will tabernacle with us. So God himself in the Garden of Eden, it will come to pass in the new heaven and new earth. Jesus dwell, tabernacle with us so that we receive the salvation. And the Holy Spirit dwell with us so we can be renewed And we can do the things that what God wants us to do. Make us His people. The Holy Spirit is the guarantor, is the seal, is the down payment that one day the bride is going, the bridegroom is going to come. Let's read. Well, I need to make it fast. Quick. Revelation 19. This is why this year we're not just rejoice and celebrate, sing and dance. This is what we do every year. But this year, we make it a special with this 7 weddings ceremony. And we have 6 pairs of newly wed. Each service is literally a wedding and signifies the bridegroom, who is the Jesus Christ, coming for his bride, the church and Israel. The church and his chosen people, the messianic Jews. We are the church and we are the bride that we need to make ourselves ready. That's why we need to attend these weddings to literally participate, receive an invitation of the groom, and we go. We need to dress up. We need to make ourselves ready to be the guest for that marriage of the Lamb. Revelation 19. Let us rejoice, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for righteous acts of the saints. Wow. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Hallelujah. Next week, the way we celebrate this God's divine appointment, the appointed feast, which is God's command, for generations to generation, you need to celebrate this feast and appear before the Lord with gifts. And the way we celebrate, we actually conduct wedding. 6 weddings for the 6 pair of newlyweds. And one more is the renewal of the marriage vows. People that got married before they came to Christ, they did not make the covenant before God. So they want to renew this covenant, make it a covenant before God and man. So there are 15 couples will have this renewal of the marriage vows on Sunday, 9 a.m. which is the service that Roxham and the Anil team will lead the worship session. 15 plus 6 is what? 21 is 777. Isn't it amazing? Now, I don't know how you feel. I felt the Lord is orchestrating this. We planned, but we never expect. It comes to 777. 21 couples make this covenant on this special occasion, the appointed feast of the Lord. It was on the Bible, on this day, you need to celebrate. God dwells with men. And how God dwells with men, the bridegroom actually come for his bride. They live together forever and ever. You see the meaning. You see that depth of the meaning deep meaning, isn't it? Profound meaning. And is eternal. The bridegroom, that Jesus will come. As believers, we all believe that and we're all looking forward to it. The bridegroom, our Christ Jesus, will come, our Lord will come again. And we are his bride. We make ourselves ready, just properly, for the marriage of the Lamb. Become the bride. And it's just, we want to experience that before the actual returning of Jesus. We want to taste that. We want to decree that. We want to proclaim that. We want to tell the world that Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacle, and his coming is also in this time. It's in this hour. And we celebrate this. Celebrate the salvation of Jesus. Celebrate the returning of our Lord Jesus. And we are the bride. We are the church. And I was so excited. This is beyond our planning. It's beyond everything. And this time we urge you to get the oil, okay? And I guess just get some co-workers. You can just get 200 ml oil and give it to our sisters. Somehow I want you to bring the oil. It's a prophetic act that I have the oil. I am the virgin. Oil is prepared. And the other meaning, the lamb needs oil. My lamb. You know, in Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, they were waiting for the groom. And 5, they prepared oil. The other 5, they had oil, but just not enough. So next week, I mean, you have this time, today maybe. Get some oil. Just a little bottle. You, at least you have some oil. Okay, don't run out of oil. You have the oil. You bring it. My oil is not run out. My oil. I have my oil. I have the oil in my lamp. This one, number one, prepare the oil. It's a prophetic act. You need to do something. Right? Don't just sit there and Jesus, you will come and you will get me as your bride. No. Every bride, when they're looking forward to that day, they prepare themselves oil. Secondly, dress up. Dress up. You need to regard this as a wedding. You cannot show up at the wedding with the rags. You got the invitation. Why I came today to preach you is an invitation to all of you. I'm sending you a sincere, formal invitation to all of you in this hall. You are invited into the marriage of the Lamb. And we, together, we are the bride. Not only the guests. Yes, we are the guests for be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We are the guests. We are also the bride. So we need to prepare ourselves. And what you need to dress. I said, oh, I don't have a wedding gown. No, you don't need to wear. You're not. Nobody, okay? Nobody wearing wedding gowns. It was funny. Like every year when I was in Jerusalem, and I saw these people from mainland China. They all bringing a wedding gown and put on the wedding gown and sing and dance. No. The white linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. So this is white linen. I mean, this is true white linen, okay? It's talk about our cleanness of our heart, the pure and clean. So you don't need to wear all white. Just this lady is also okay. This kind of like one, how do you say, blend or something, not like not have many patterns and checkers and all these things. It's more clean, bright, not red, black. No, just like this color, this color, this color, or beige. It's, you feel clean. Remember, the bright without spot, wrinkle, blank, just very pure, like all for the Lord, signifies your love is pure. Your love for the Lord is pure. And so you put yourself into that kind of dress. And now, why I'm saying this, then you have time to prepare, okay? Amen. And that's why I wanted to come and send this invitation to all of you. All of you, really, you are receiving, because you are sitting here, you received this invitation for the marriage of the Lamb. We're going to do it next week. The first one is Friday. Actually, I mean, for all of you, you can come with your employer. If your employer comes, whatever section, you can come more than one section. You can come more than one section. Because if they're going through, there's all these dance, the bride and the virgins, they carry the lamb with the oil, and the bridegroom, I mean, the dancer, and also the real bridegroom, the real groom will show up. And the real groom have possession, and the bride also have possession. It was just, I cannot imagine how grand, how fabulous, and how, I mean, it must be something that was so spiritual, at the same time, so joyful, and it's just like taste new heaven and new earth, and I look forward to it. Now we cannot see the dance. We are not allowed, even co-workers. Nobody are allowed to see the dance. I saw the picture of the groom and the bride, the dancers, not the real one. The real one is here. The real one is here, right? The 6 newlyweds. And there are another 15 couples that will attend on Sunday, 9 a.m. Now, with all this, prepare your heart, receive this invitation, prepare your dress, and prepare the oil, and also prepare the gift, which is the offering. When you come next week, no one should appear. Now, this is serious. How to break the spirit of poverty. We always think we don't have enough. So when you are thinking, God, I don't have enough, so excuse me this time, then what would God think? You are blaming me for not providing you enough? Isn't it? Because what you can bring to him is from him. Now he said, I don't have it for you. That means you rejected my gifts. You rejected my blessings. Think this way. So by bringing the gifts to the Lord is believing he is the provider. Bringing the gifts to the Lord. So this is how I want all of you prepare four things. Your heart. Believing I'm the bride. This is the birthday of Jesus, and I have to come and welcome him. And this is the prototype. This is for us to taste the new heaven and new earth. God's tabernacle is with men. No more death, no more mourning, no more tears. I'm going to come and rejoice and bring the future to the present. living from the future, bring the future to present. This is why we celebrate the feast. Because when that day comes, we are not unfamiliar. We are familiar with the Lord. The Lord says, well, if you're not familiar, the Lord says, I don't know you. And that's really bad. You better make acquaintance with him right now. Make acquaintance with him. Accept the invitation. Attend the wedding. Attend the marriage. Whichever you come, you're welcome. The invitation is sent. And you are invited to the marriage of the Lamb. Prepare your heart. Prepare your dress. And prepare the oil. And prepare the gift. And knowing this is the most is unprecedented, never heard of it. I think it's going to make history. I think it's going to change the atmosphere now in Hong Kong, because he's the light. He reigns in Hong Kong. There's this group of people singing and celebrating this. He will inhabit with us, dwell with us, live with us. Amen? So believe that and accept the invitation. Okay, now just let's all stand. Let's all worship him. And we are the bride. We are the church. We are the bride. Our lamb, the oil is stored. The lamp is...
Today is your day, and this is the day that the Lord has made for you. So he really wants to live inside you, and let him reign over your lives as your groom. Because you are, God wants you to know that you are his bride. You are his bride. As a bride, God wants his bride to be ready, prepare, amen, to meet the groom. So anyone more, the newcomers, you have it, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. Okay, now we would like to invite our sisters to just close your eyes. And we'd like everyone to repeat after me this short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today that you called me as your bride. Today, I open up my heart. Jesus, come. Be my Lord. My Savior. Jesus, take away all my sins. Forgive me. Cleanse me. So that I become worthy before you. Holy, pure, and beautiful. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. From now on, I belong to you, and you belong to me. I am your bride, and you are the groom. In Jesus' name, amen.